Yeah, we're talking about the wind, talking about that passage there in 11. If you look at Matthew 6, that's where the longer version is. And a lot of people go, well, what's going on here? Why is it? Well, actually, Jesus is teaching in a way that, you know, it's, you know, back then that was during his time of sermon in Matthew. But then when this was shown here, this was really when one of the disciples asked, you know, what it is. So he's not looking at a certain, you have to do it this way, but he's given us a pattern. So that's why there's a little bit of, you know, variance between the two, what I understand anyways there. So, but catching the wind, have you ever caught the wind? I tell you something, I've been hit by the wind. Where I used to work in Southern California, actually growing up in Southern California, there's something called the Santa Ana winds. I think Sam would probably know those as well. Those things would come through. Sometimes they can be up to 100 miles per hour or more. And they're not just something that happens a little bit. They can happen for 3, 4, 5 days in a row. So they can drive you a little crazy. And what they do is you, I remember one day me and my friend decided to go outside and at our high school and play some handball in under a handball area outside. And we knew the winds were up. So we would play a little bit, but you could hear this train sound coming. And then you just look and you see some things starting to move, and we would run, and there's a little shelter, you know, where the walls would stick out a little bit, so, you know, playing handball. We'd duck in there and let the wind pass, and things would just be shooting past us, and then when that went away, we'd go back out there and play a couple more rounds, and then wind, until the wind started just coming too often. And then we were running for our lives with things just being all shooting all around us. So, but the wind is a powerful thing. You can't see it. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. You can't really track that so well. But, you know, the wind is what we're trying to catch, actually. And if I get my thing up here, maybe I'll move it for us. So that's what we're looking at today. And the wind, people say, well, what are you talking about? The wind? Who cares about the wind? Well, when you look at the wind, actually, the Holy Spirit is really what a lot in the Bible, what they talk about. It's a symbolism of the wind. If you look at Genesis 2 and how God, what does he do? He breathes into the nostrils of Adam to bring him alive. It's, you know, the Holy Spirit gets things moving. You can say the Holy Spirit is kind of like the powerhouse of the Trinity. He gets things churning. He turns things alive. Without that breath, Adam or us would not be alive today. All right, so that breath, the wind, he speaks it, he blows it. In 3:8, when Nicodemus is saying, well, how can be born again? And Jesus says, well, it's just like the wind. You know, the Holy Spirit just blows and moves. We don't know where he's going to touch this, who next? Who's going to receive Christ next? Who's going to be born again next? Just how he moves like the wind. You don't know where it's going or coming from. And then in John 20:22, Jesus actually breathed on his disciples the Holy Spirit. You know, so you can see the wind in that. And then there, in Acts 2, with the early church, with all the disciples, there's a movement, there's a violent wind coming. You know, there's a Holy Spirit moving upon those disciples at that time. So when people, you know, so symbolism is used a lot for the Holy Spirit. It's also water, and there are probably some others as well, but one we know is wind. And so really what we're trying to do is catch the Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? Well, that's what we're talking about today. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been in these. In fact, sometimes I feel like I'm in these more often than I am catching the wind, you know. It's called the doldrums. You know, if you've ever been sailing, I've been sailing a little bit, and, you know, it's beautiful, you know, when the wind catches the sails and you're just riding on the water, and if it's really moving well, your whole boat starts to lift off the water, and you're leaning, you have to lean the other side. And if you see the professionals, they're way off to the side leaning, you know, because they're moving so fast. The wind is powerful. But when the wind isn't blowing, boop, the sails go down. And there's nothing. They just sit there, and there's, you know, I've been like a hot day, desert, you know, I've been out in the desert in California, and you can see the waves of the heat just coming off the ground. You're just sitting there, no wind, no nothing. You're just sitting there, oh, just drips of sweat coming down, and that's about it. This is like the doldrums, nothing going on, no power, no movement. You know, it's inactivity. It's stagnation. It's depression. You're just sitting there. There's nothing about you. You know, and Ezekiel talking about what I think is chapter 37 in Ezekiel, talking about those old dry bones. They had no life, no spirit. But God had Ezekiel to speak it out. You know, pretty much breathe the spirit into those bones to have them come alive through the word of God. It's powerful. We don't want to be in this, but you know, as human beings, we you know, you fluctuate. There's doldrums, but we know that we got to get back to catching a wind again when we get in them. So, as we look here in chapter 11, we're going to look a little bit more about how to catch the wind and how important it is for us in our lives and how it makes a difference, not only in our lives, but in the lives of the people around us as well. So let's pray before we go on. Lord God, we come before you, the one who created us, created all things, and you've given us the breath of life, your Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we don't even talk about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. But he's God, and we need him. We need him in our lives to empower us, to show us the way so we can be in step and in tune and in touch with you, Father, that we can know your will and that we can live it and live it powerfully. Just like what we're talking about this morning, you know, you can do all your devotions, read your Bible, but until it really is living in you, it really doesn't matter much. So we just ask that you'll cause your Holy Spirit to move in such a way that you'll bring us alive. Bring us alive. Revive your church. Revive each one of us, Lord, that you can use us to bring honor and glory to your name. Bless this time in your word. May you receive that glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here, you know, there's a disciple. So now, Jesus, if you read, go over his life, a lot of times he went off, you know, to solitary places to do what? What was he doing? Playing Rummy Cube? What was he doing? He was praying, right? He went off on his own to solitary places to pray because, you know, a lot of times there's just tons of people and it's kind of hard to focus and stuff like that. You know, you can. But he wanted to spend time with the Father and pray. And his disciples were seeing this, kind of going, where did he go now? And then when they follow him and talk to him, say, oh, you've been praying. And then they've noticed in his life, you know, that was a routine. And not only was it a routine, but they saw the power emanating out of his life, where he touched people and people were healed, or he just spoke and people were healed, or he just cast out demons by just saying, go. Leave. You know, there's power and authority in his teaching, in his life. And then the divine appointments where he would meet people who were in a tree and he'd call them by names and things like that. So they knew there was something special about this guy. But he was just a human being like us too. So something was empowering him. They wanted no more. So this one, I don't know which disciple it was. Maybe he was sticking up for all of them, most likely Peter, you know, and one of the disciples said to Jesus, he said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. So there's some hunger there. See, I don't know about you teachers. We got a few teachers here. I used to be a teacher. One thing, you know, making disciples or teaching your students is modeling. You model it in your classroom. A lot of times they're going to start to catch it. They're going to see routines. They're going to say, ooh, I see that. And, you know, we kind of, like when I was teaching PE, I would just follow the same thing. You know, I wouldn't change the routine very often. You know, so they knew what was coming up next. In fact, the kids, after a while, could run the class on their own, truthfully, if they had the motivation to do that, which a lot of them did not. But then after that, not only that was an important part, but this part, I think, is even more critical. Jesus waited for them to be ready. For this question. I mean, he could have been hammering, you've got to pray every day, boom, 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 and it would have been going like this, boink, and licking off their foreheads, boing. You know, the words just go one ear and out the other, like that. Don't laugh at me, because maybe I was like that too. So he knew. Until they asked a question, they weren't really ready to receive it. And just like our students in the classrooms, when they're, you know, a lot of times in our education system, we push and push and push these kids, and they're not ready. And that's why the education system's really failing. You know, we got to wait for people to be ready, for them to really receive it. Jesus knew that, the greatest teacher of all, right? So just a little bit of wisdom there, a little bit of experience. So how do we catch the wind? I mean, wind catching the basics, you know, the ABCs of wind catching. This is what it is, you know, and Jesus just gives it to him. He says, well, here's something you can follow, or a pattern. You don't have to, you know, it's not rigid. You don't have to go every word, or you can start adding things as the Spirit moves you, but this is a pattern for you. You know, it's simple to follow. You know, say, Father, first of all, you acknowledge there's Father in heaven, right? And, you know, that he's his name. When you say hallowed, and we're going to be talking more about this in the weeks to come, too. We're going to go over this passage more closely, discover a little bit more about it. But just, you know, how important his name is to us. And then, you know, you're worshiping him. And then you start just asking him for help, you know, the daily things in your life. It's God-centered. It's glorifying to him. You know, help for the daily bread. Forgive me for my sins as I forgive those who forgive me. I mean, who sinned against me. And then, you know, lead me not into temptation, those type of things. And then if you go on to Matthew, there's more, you know, with that about, you know, there's an enemy that we need help to fight against, you know, to stand firm against, all that. You know, power up your prayer sails. So you get those sails out, you know, that's your heart. Open it up and catch the wind. Catch it by coming before him. And, you know, God will move us. He'll speak to us when we're ready, right? And that. And then if you could keep on going on, there in verse 5, Jesus, now, why does he do this? Because things are just right after that. Okay, so good, thank you. Now he pushes some buttons. All right. He triggers some people. Because now he's going this. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you got to go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity. That's great. Wow. That's some verbiage I don't use very often. Shameless audacity. He will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Can you understand that? Here you go. Your friend comes in from town and you have nothing in the fridge, and you got to come over to mom and dad's and knock on door. Hey, we need some food. Mom, dad, get out of here. Go to McDonald's. No, it's too far away. You keep on knocking, boom, 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 boom. And then finally, you know, dad comes down the stairs and, all right, here, have my dinner, take it, go, type thing. You know, that's the audacity. Just keep on knocking on the door. You know, that's Jesus is saying, okay, here's a pattern to follow, but there's more to it. You got to be a person of boldness, this audacity, this continuous motion. Don't just sit there in the doldrums. Get up there and start using, you know, because the power isn't coming from us. It's coming from who you're asking. And you know that he can provide all that's good and perfect. So he's saying, persevere. Don't quit. Be bold. He says, and then it continues on there. It says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. There's no maybes there. There's no ifs. There's boldness. And you know what? What's interesting about this boldness, he's saying, just, hey, go on. Come on, ask. And in James, it says, you know, you don't have these things because you don't ask. You don't have faith. You're double-minded. You don't believe that you're going to receive it. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit, the wind, is kind of shy. He's very shy. I think he's the shyest of them all three, of the three persons of the Trinity. Because when sin abounds, or where sin is, or where doubt is, I don't think he likes coming into that territory. So when it's in our hearts, don't expect these things. So he's saying, be bold in your faith. Know who you're calling upon. And believe that you're going to receive it. Because you know what? Why can you do that? What gives you the audacity to do that? What does it? Because I tell you, sometimes I sit there going, I don't have it. Why? I'm thinking about it. But then when I read on, I read this here in verse 11 and 12 says, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Wow. So really what he's saying is that, you know, if you have a father and he's a pretty good guy, he's going to provide for you. And then when you think about the Father in heaven who is perfect, you know he's going to do how much more than any of our earthly fathers could do for us or give us, because he knows exactly what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. So because of that, there's security in his love. He's not sitting there going, oh, I see you. I saw you do that. I'm not giving it to you. Or he doesn't criticize. He doesn't judge us. You know, he sits there open arms and he says, come. Come to me. I'll take care of you. But call upon me. Because God, he doesn't need us, but he desires a relationship with us. So you say, well, if he's such a good father, why can't I just ask and things just come boom, 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 like coming up to a vending machine and pressing a button, things just come out right away after I put my money in. Why doesn't he just answer right away? Come on. You know, my friend or my family member sick or they lost a job and they need a job. Boom, we want it right away. You know, God has his reasons. But one of the bigger things is that he created us for a very important reason for him, to have a relationship with us. And so there's times when we do have to be so bold and keep persevering and don't quitting. And who knows how long it could be, years. But he does that so because we press in to him. We press closer to him. We continue to... Do we learn more dependency upon him? The self-empowerment starts falling away more and more as we wait and we call upon him, because we can't give our friend a job. We can't heal our family member. But he can. And says, press in. He just says, come. Press in on me. Keep coming closer. Keep asking. And he knows the perfect timing. And he knows just what the right things to do. So there's security in that. We can have the boldness because of his love for us. It's so great. And he knows all things. And he knows everything just right. And so we can depend upon that. And that gives us that boldness, that audacity just to knock on the doors, to go ask. And I know it's hard in classrooms to ask your teacher. He just don't understand. You look dumb. You know, I got a question. I don't understand this. Oh, dummy, dummy, dummy. All the other classmates, dummy, dummy. You know, it's a, no. You know what? As a teacher, I always enjoyed, I always thought, you know, I think you're the smartest person in class when you're asking questions, because you are seeking answers. You want to understand. You want to become better. To me, that's smart. God is just calling us into a closer relationship with Himself. And then listen, look at this verse 13. He's showing us how to catch the wind. You want to know how? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, all right, talk about fathers and stuff like that, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He knows what the best thing is for us. If we catch the wind, or when we catch the wind, we got everything we need. We got the power. We got the authority that is in God alone, that is in the name of Christ Jesus alone, to move us, to empower our prayers, to where we're praying, not into the emptiness of space, but to a caring God who created all things and loves us. And that empowering the Spirit, we get in tuned, and He moves, and through what He puts upon our hearts to pray, we can close doors, we can open doors, we can bring healing to people's lives, we can bring the good news to people where God will work miracles in hearts to save people out of the darkness. Where they get new life, new life, and a great inheritance of everlasting life. Catch the wind. How you got to do it? You got to ask the Father. Right? Oh, He's ready to give it. He's just waiting for us to ask. That's what He's doing. So wind power, you look at it, you look at James 5, you know, when Elijah prayed, God's power was displayed. You know, that, you know, he shut the heavens. He shut the clouds, no rain for 3 years. And then he's asked Elijah to pray again. And then he had to pray 7 times to where a little fist of cloud came up out of the sea. And that little cloud became a huge storm. That's God's power. That's the Holy Spirit moving. Elijah was a man, just like ordinary person, just like us. But he was in tune with the Spirit. He was catching the wind. If you look at Luke, Jesus, when he was praying, what happened? The kingdom came upon him, right? Like a dove. The Holy Spirit came upon him in a figure of a dove. Power. When you pray, that what the kingdom, your kingdom come. And if you finish that off in Matthew, it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a powerful prayer. It's powerful. We'll look into that more. This is it. Look at this. In Acts 4:31, when the disciples were praying, what happened? You know, they were getting persecuted. The Jews were after them. The priests didn't want to hear the name of Jesus. They prayed anyways and kept on praying. Their whole place around them was shaken, and they are empowered to go boldly with that audacity to continue to proclaim Christ. Empowered not by their own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. They caught the Spirit. Open your hearts. Call upon His name. These are just little things. Ordinary people that God is using. So for us, when you talk about us, you know, when we catch the Spirit, when we catch the Holy Spirit, when we catch that wind by opening our hearts, by actually finding a routine in our lives, a time in our lives where maybe we can go off on our own and just talk with the Lord. Or even as you know, our lives are being transformed by the Holy Spirit as we spend more time with Him, when we're talking to Him. Even as you're driving to work or school or wherever, you know, you could talk to Him. Even if you're in school and you're at work and you've got people around you that are saying, I'm sick or I need help, you can pray. People say, well, you've got to pray out loud. You don't have to pray out loud. God knows your heart. You could be quiet prayers. But you can also pray boldly outward too. Boy, try that. Try it with a friend or a coworker or a neighbor, or even a family member, or even one of our family in Christ here. You know, somebody needs a little help. Pray with that person. You know, we're all the priesthood of all believers, right? We're all priests. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're a priest. And you can pray with power for somebody else because of the standing that we have in Christ. So we can pray for others. Just do that. You know, that's something. You want a resolution or a goal this week? Pray for somebody else. Pray. Well, you talk. You know, people say, well, I got to use this godly language. You know what? When Jesus was saying Father there, translation is Abba. It's like a child to their parents, to their father, to just their regular father. Daddy. Papa. Just talk with them. You hear your friend's needs. They need a little encouragement. Just talk with them and say, hey, God, he needs help. I don't know how long you're going to pray. You don't have to babble on and on. Sometimes it's just short. Lord, Father, help my friend. Help Billy. He needs a job. Or he needs to get his grades up. Or he's having relationship troubles. Help him to make amends, to ask for forgiveness, or to give forgiveness, whatever it is. Just talk. But talk to him. Catch the wind, right? Open your heart. Talk to him. Your lives will be transformed. I guarantee you, as you open your hearts and you seek God in prayer more and more, the sails will be filled more and more, and your life is going to change. And you're going to find yourself throughout the day, you're going to be talking to God. And it might be quiet, or sometimes you might be talking to yourself. And people say, what are you doing? I'm talking to God. It's just amazing how he'll transform us. So when will I catch the wind? Well, you already have the answer right here, right there. Verse 9, right? Ask, seek, and knock, and it will be given unto you. Until you do that, you're not catching no wind. You're going to be in the doldrums of life. So you got to ask. Ask for the Spirit. Ask for Him to come into our lives. And, you know, you look at regular people like a Moses who led a nation because he sought God. He opened up the sails of his heart to God. He caught the wind of the Holy Spirit and he did amazing things. God did amazing things through him. If you look at Elijah, we already know about Elijah's story. Daniel, the guy, a man of prayer, he was the guy who was thrown in a den of lions. Philip was moved by the Spirit to meet this Ethiopian to bring the good news to him. You know, Peter, you know, we had that little story this morning about Cornelius. You know, God spoke to him and said, go to see this Gentile, this non-Jew. You shouldn't be doing it because you're a Jew, but everything is clean. Go. Proclaim the good news. Bring it to him. And Paul, you know, his life, you just look at his life, how he's carried by the Spirit. You know, the Spirit sometimes said, nope, you can't go there. Sometimes said, go here. In tuned with the Spirit, moved by him, catching the wind. So today, we're going to pray this together. And maybe I'll write this up for you and have it in the bulletin next week. This is something I like to pray. This is what I gave a devotional book to all the elders. And this is one of the prayers before that, before the first devotion from Alistair Begg. And it's a wonderful prayer just to open our hearts, to try to catch the wind. So when we read the word, we can understand it. And not only just understand it, but as Sam was saying earlier this morning, to apply it in our lives, to where it becomes alive. Let's pray this together. Say, Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. Let the presence of the risen Lord come renew my heart and make me whole. Cause your word to come alive in me. Give me faith for what I cannot see. Give me passion for your purity. Holy Spirit, breathe new life in me. I tell you something, each time I pray that before I read the word, it speaks to me. And I'm not making a doctrine. You know, if you just want to say it and say it, if it doesn't have any meaning to you, or no, if you're not really opening a heart, you're not catching the wind. But you open your heart and you pray prayers like this. This is a pattern, right? But it opens our hearts to the living Creator God that is ready to empower us to do things that are unimaginable. Things that we can never really think about asking for or imagine. Because that's who He is. He's a powerful God. And He wants to see His kingdom being built in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. Let's pray. Father God, again, we thank You for this time in Your word, time of prayer. Lord, teach us. Teach us how to pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, come into our lives. Help us to as that song says, you know, get on our knees if we have to, or maybe the knees are just in our hearts and we just have to bow our hearts to surrender our lives to You more and more, our time to You, our abilities and gifts that You have given us, give them to You, or the resources that You give us, give them to You, and that You will use us powerfully, that we'll catch the wind, our sails will move us across those rugged waters. And Lord, that we can take these blessings of good news to others. And that we can just live in that and revel in it as well. To live a life blessed by You and knowing You. Oh, what a great Christmas gift that is. The greatest of all. That is Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, living in us. Praise You and thank You in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of His people say, amen. Amen.